Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another edition, the Monday edition of the Couples TV Show. As always, this is your main guy, Gregory Clark Sr., here to have an enjoyable time with you. And, of course, always along for the ride is my great partner, Cheryl Clark.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this Monday evening. Here on March 10th. We are riding alone, and 2014 is really coming in. Now, in a minute.
And as of those of you who've been following us on Facebook, you can go to our Facebook pages. You can either go to the main one for this show, The Couples TV Show, which is facebook.com/ The Couples TV Show. Also, you can hit us up on our main page, which is facebook.com/ Greg and Cheryl Clark. And without further ado, we're going to talk about how to effectively disagree, or how to disagree effectively for growth. And the main reason why we discuss that, because we've noticed that at times when blessings are starting to appear, that's when all hell breaks loose and all kinds of craziness and strife and just everything just starts getting muckety-muck. Starts coming into play, but how you handle those situations that come about, that will come about within your relationship, regardless of it's business or personal, will show how you will determine your overall success. Cheryl, how do you feel about that?
Honestly, we have had our fair share of disagreements and conflict in our marriage, and that is why we have spearheaded this this mission and purpose on our lives to now help other people that are in relationships that trying to navigate marriage without a guide. You need a guide, especially if you have not been mentored by someone or haven't seen a healthy relationship growing up. You need a guide. You need two people, preferably if you're in a relationship, if you are seriously dating, engaged to be married, first year marriage especially will be trying.
Seventh year marriage.
Seventh, the fifth, the 20th. The point is that your life is a journey. A marriage is a journey. And if you learn how to communicate effectively in your marriage, you'll be able to then step on those things as a foundation that got you to the point where now you're able to glean from things. Because when the storm may come, it doesn't have to tip over your ship because you're in a relationship. Think of your relationship as a ship, that sometimes you may have to take the wheel and stir, and then your husband or wife may have to take the wheel and stir. But if you guys are constantly fighting about which way to go and the purpose of which way to go, you're most likely either going to tip over that ship or go the wrong direction. Greg?
Very, very true. And see, and even in a relationship, there has to be cohesion. See, that C-O in front of the adhesion is very important because it means you're coming together. You're bringing two into one, or not even that. It's not even, let me even backtrack a little. It's not so much bringing two into one. It is about having the opportunity for two minds to allow themselves to work together to go in one particular path. Because sometimes I can get caught up when people say, you know, once you find your wife, you have to lead her, or she has to do this and she has to do that. And it's almost as if you start to get lost within the relationship instead of understanding that you were two distinct individuals,
mm-hmm.
especially if we're talking about a personal relationship, not business. But you're talking about two individuals who are come from probably two distinct, different faculties. You could be living in the same neighborhood and be raised up in two different households. So we're talking about two distinct people who have now decided to create something together.
Different perspectives. You're raised in two, and that's why I said what I said about having a guide, because Gregory was raised in a West Indian household. I was more raised in a Southern household.
Yeah, man.
So the reasoning for that is that for if you put us back-to-back, I always like to do the scenario, if you put us back-to-back and we're looking at the same horizon.
I'm taller.
Gregory may see something totally different from that horizon. He may be, I may be looking at the sun rising or setting or whatever the horizon, and Gregory may be looking at the waves. Is it wrong of what he's looking at? Absolutely not. Is it wrong that I'm looking at the sun setting or the sun was rising? The horizon is still the same. It's just the perspectives of what we're looking at differs. But he's not wrong in his perspective, and neither am I. The point is we have to make room in the relationship for both perspectives. And that is where we have an issue in the relationships of making room for the other. And it's not about you making the room. It's about opening your heart to receive and make the room. That's just very, 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 so it sounds simple, but it's not simple, especially when you're coming from two different perspectives. I was not raised like Gregory. Gregory wasn't raised like Cheryl. So then we have to mesh some of those things. Like there's certain foods that he loves from the Southern cuisine, and there's certain foods that I love from the islands. The thing is that you have to mesh some of those things. And how he had his determination, how his parents raised him about how he should view money, totally different aspect. Now, if you come in and start criticizing the other person for what they were raised in, then that's where the arguments come. And you can't build a meaningful relationship, which then you cannot connect with your spouse to be intimate with your spouse, and everything goes on and on and on, and then you bring in old baggage and things happening and previous relationships and previous things and all this stuff. You be critical on top of it, and it's just hurtful. And it gets to be a bit much when you cannot navigate in a place of love and respect for one another. You're not making room for each other, Greg.
And that leads me to a point that I want us to delve into real quick. I'm going to just share some things that have worked with us over time, things that sometimes we have to go back into, because just like every great book, you need to crack it open ever so often, because just because you read it once does not mean you don't go back and get the information to grow and to become as strong as possible. And one of the things I've seen, and Cheryl just alluded to this, which is a great point, is that in any type of disagreement, both people have a legitimate right to feel and think the way they do. And Cheryl was just going into that. Now, if I would knock, if I'm going to just try to knock Cheryl down because, oh, she wasn't raised like how we were raised, then the problem is within me, because now I'm knocking her ability, regardless of if it's a disagreement or even if we are in agreement. Sometimes you could be in agreement and still be disagreeable.
Mm-hmm.
So now both people have to have a legitimate right to feel and think the way they do. Now, that doesn't mean that just because you're in a relationship, okay, your wife wants to do everything this particular way, that doesn't necessarily mean that you totally 100% feel that. You have a different point of view. You have a way of doing things. Now, what the great thing that comes about, especially when you understand that both people have that legitimate right, is that how do you mesh those two dichotomies together? And then it becomes one, you know, mixture of a great soup or gumbo. And that's where a lot of times the individuals end up taking the easier road by saying, you know what, I don't want to compromise. I'm a bounce. Or the woman is like, you know what, he ain't giving me what I want here, so you know what I'm saying, I'm going to go hang out over here. Next you know, you're creating more division, you're creating more strife, because neither party, if that's the scenario, is taking the opportunity to legitimize how the other person feels. Do you agree with that, Cheryl?
Absolutely, because that is the whole premise of why we were getting in so many arguments, is that who becomes the winner in this? And the thing is...
Oh, we're going to definitely get into that.
Yeah, and it's just the point where it's a journey, and you're trying to make sense of something that in due time it will become, it will be made sense about if, in that sense, in S-E-N-S-E, meaning that it will make sense if you put in the work to make sense of it. Because the first year, think about when you first got married or when you were dating. Let's go back, dating. When you were he or she was very perfect. Oh, my God.
I mean, all the loving in the bedroom is jumping all over the place. Y'all were like rabbits.
Cute. And now, for a man, it's more like that.
Oh, no.
A woman is
like
my
too.
God, what you say to me, what you do for me. Oh, my God. What you say and do and what you do and say and do and say. When that period is over, what happens? What happens? You're left with, he's sloppy, or I didn't like that you didn't put down the toilet.
Like
I didn't like that
nine.
you didn't put down the toilet seat, or you left the toothpaste cap off, or you're speaking you're talking too much on the telephone, or you're not coming straight home. Whatever. Whatever it is. The thing is that there are situations that was present before you got married. That was there that we just didn't want to admit. And sometimes, I will say not for all, but sometimes we get so boggled down and busy from the day-to-day activities that we do not know how to make a happily ever after anymore. Because that's really what we thought we was going to come into, a happily ever after. But how do you make that happily ever after? You can have it. It takes a lot of work, but you can have it. And it takes you being that much so present in your relationship to make this a happy relationship and to have your happily ever after. It takes both parties. You have to be accountable. Because I will always say that marriage is for grown folks. I believe that wholeheartedly. Marriage is for grown folks. And if you're not ready to put in the work, I think that Greg and I were very young when we got married, and we grew up in the marriage together. We grew up in the marriage. And that's the point, where you had to grow in the marriage. Marriage is like you planting a tree. You're planting a tree, and it takes years for the tree to grow. It depends on how many, if it's going to be a full-blown tree, what kind of tree you're going to have. And guess what? If a limb falls off the tree, if a branch falls off the tree, you know, sometimes there's seasons, different seasons, and a branch may fall off, and that branch could never be put back on again. No matter how you try, that branch is never going to be put back on that tree again. It either is going to grow another branch, and you sweep that other one that fell off and put it in the garbage and stop digging it back up again. Because that branch is dead, meaning that things that you've said to people, things that we do in our relationship, let that die. Let those things, we have to heal from things that have happened to us in the past. That's what happens in a relationship when you get into a marital conflict with each other and you don't know how to let things go. You kill your romantic relationship. Your intimacy goes down. Your loving relationship, your respect goes out the window for each other. And everyone around you suffers because you are both unwilling to make space and room for each other. Right?
Okay. Okay, that was definitely some great points. And now we're going to move on to another point about your points of disagreement must be crystal clear to both people. One person can have a level within a disagreement that is like you're kind of trying to figure out what's going on. And sometimes the emotions get revved up, adrenaline starts flowing, things start getting up. That's when communication becomes real muddled, as I stated earlier. And sometimes it's helpful just to stop for a moment and just proclaim, what is the issue here and what are we really fighting about? Half of most arguments can be settled in probably a couple minutes if both parties knew exactly what in the bleep were they fighting about. But then we get caught up, and it goes back to almost back to the first point about not feeling, or you trying to legitimize it, you're trying to express a particular point because you may not understand why the other party is upset. The other person may feel, well, you're supposed to understand. And then all of a sudden you have what's going on in the middle is going to get cloudy and get confused because, as they say sometimes, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and somehow we got to get to Earth. So what do you say to that, Cheryl?
Absolutely. We are totally different. That's why I always say our genitalia, men are on the outside and women are inside. Women are emotional. Men are they're outer. So the thing is that they are visual. They see, they get excited. We feel and we get excited. And that is two different parts of the spectrum. And if we learn what he needs in a relationship and what she needs in a relationship, what happens is when you'll have less time arguing and more time connecting.
That's very true. And one of the things that leads into the next thought and the next point is disagreements should be settled as quickly as possible. Now, my wife brought up a particular scenario, which sometimes happens, and I'll be the first one to admit sometimes I hold on to stuff, and I'm starting to learn as I continue to navigate and grow within myself how to let certain things go. But when a disagreement just continues to go on and on and on and on and on and on, the more damage that you're actually creating, because what's going to happen is now you're scaffolding. Now it could have started with, as she stated, it could have started with me leaving the toilet seat up to her, you know, going into the bathroom and, you know, the middle of the night she needs to use the restroom and plop. She comes in. Now, it was a minor mistake, but it was still it was just still an action that was done against her. Now, how I interact with her on that and how do I settle that as quickly as possible will determine if she's going to continue to hold on to the fact that I left the toilet seat up, or we can move on to more pressing matters that allows us to stay focused on what we are meant to do. And sometimes that can be detractors away from your vision, from your provision, from the testaments that you're setting up, regardless of now I'm flowing into where it comes into the business and the business of a family. Because when you start to really break it down, even your family is a business.
But so, can I say something before you go into that about the business? When you talked about the toilet seat, it's about being mindful about what the other person says, about what the other person did. Staying mindful about the things and the habits that you did, because you probably was a bachelor, that you could leave the toilet seat up. And if your habits are going into now your marriage life, you now have to hear her, or you and the woman has to hear him about the things that they're doing that annoys them. Because that annoyance can turn into something big, and it really, 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 really was about the toilet seat.
Mm-hmm. See, like Cheryl just said, see, the toilet seat was the spark phase. That was the phase of just, okay, you lit the match.
Yep.
Now, if you can somehow quell it once you lit the match, before it goes to a blaze, now all of a sudden you've nipped it in the bud. There's a spark there. I'm seeing, we rub those twigs together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm seeing the smoke come up. Okay, let's extinguish the flame. It's easier to extinguish the flame when you're just starting to see the smoke come from the twigs. Instead of saying, you know, we got a nice campfire now, we got enough, but even the bears and the other animals are coming to hang out with us for the night. Now you got something else going on.
Yep.
And that's where
a little thing.
Yeah, that's where we have to understand that disagreements should always, as possible, be settled as quickly as possible.
And you know what else I've learned from my husband, too, we learned from both each other, is the way we speak to each other is very, very crucial. If you tell him, you need to take the garbage out, he ain't going to take the garbage out when you ask, because you're commanding him. You're commanding. Oh, you know what? I need you to go to store. I need you to go to store and pick up some eggs. It's not about that you may need that. The point is that it's a command and not a request. Those are two different things. Two different things. If I've asked my husband, hon, is it possible that you can do thus and so for me when you have a moment?
There's a good chance she's going to get it. It's going to get done.
Absolutely. And I always start off, is it possible, or when you get a chance? That is, I make myself so present with him, because I don't want to take whatever he's doing for granted. Greg works from home. He's on the computer. I see him working. I will say, Gregory, if you don't mind, when you get a chance, can you please do so-and-so-and-so? And he'll say, okay, in a moment, I'm doing so-and-so-and-so. Now, if he forgets, because sometimes he do, sometimes he will forget.
I just throw him under the bus.
If he does forget, I'll just say, Greg, was you able to do it? And he'll be like, oh, shoot, I'm so sorry. I forgot to do thus and thus and thus and thus, but I wasn't minded to do that. The thing is, it's not about he's being mindful that I asked. He's acknowledging that I asked. He's acknowledging that he may have forgotten, and we need to move on. Don't move in to, oh, my God, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it goes into something else, the spark. Because you're annoyed, and then you bring back something from happened 2007 about what you see every time I ask you to do something. I remember the last time I asked you to do something. It's really not about the last time. It's really about you being mindful of the fact of he's human. And Gregory can understand is that when you say something, don't commit to something that you may not be able to do or may remember to do. And that's the whole point of an argument. It can be quelled, like Greg said, the spark. Greg?
Very, very true. And now this goes to the best thought that I've seen in a while, and such a true thought. If just one of you wins the argument, you both lose. If someone can walk out of the argument like, yes, I got what I wanted, and you got to do what I got to say, and you, you both lose, because that's not the same. That is not the argument or disagreement is not meant for a winner. It's not competition. It's not about getting your juices flowing, being competitive. So you know what? You know what I'm saying? I got her. You know what I'm saying? I got her wrong. She was wrong. I got her. Fool, just because you may have made your point does not mean that you are there to win an argument. What strengthens the relationship is the ability to, as my wife just stated earlier, to respect each other. It's not about who wins, who's right, who's wrong, who's this, who's bad, who's good. And no, now we're getting into segmented thoughts, which also becomes infiltrated and says, oh, I was bad there, or she was bad there, or I was good here, or I was good there. No, it's not about that. It's not about who won. It's not about who's winning. Just like there was some actor at one point running around winning. Look, ain't got nothing to do with that. What's ended up to be the best thing for any relationship is that it's just like in business. There are times you can go into negotiation, like you could be going for a house, you could be negotiating a contract to do whatever. And the reason why you can continue to be in business is that even though you may want 100% of what you want, and that person that you're dealing with may want 100% of what they want, but the reason why they'll end up being successful and you'll be successful, because somehow y'all go from your 100%, y'all meet in the middle, and that middle ends up being that everyone is part of this combined 100%, and you're benefiting, they're benefiting, and everything moves on. But when you into an argument on your personal level, please, and I'm talking to my men, please, don't get in the heat in the battle and just get to the point that everything is me, 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 and that's what's best for us, me, me, me. Because now it's your ego. Now your ego's in the argument. Instead of it being a rationalized disagreement, now ego is at play.
Mm.
And now it's about trying to see how I can make sure that I get my point across and I'm going to do what I got to do to be in the upper hand. No one's in the upper hand in any type of disagreement when one person feels like they are attempting to win a disagreement. What do you have to add to that, Cheryl?
I think that was a great point. I think that when you have balance, then you have a marriage. You're going to have a happy marriage when there's balance. And that's even biblical. I'm not proclaiming to be any theologian. No way, no shape, no form. But I know that when there is balance and order, then God will show up. And I believe that
Hallelujah.
And there's certain times that I was thinking of I gotta win this becomes far more so important than what you were really arguing about. And it just becomes suffering to the family. Sometimes we would see our children after an argument get hurt. And that's when Greg and I said, we gotta stop this. We got to stop this because we are not the ones suffering. Our children are. People around us are. But now I got to get this point across. No, but you got to hear me. Arguments do not belong in a marriage. It's anger. Anger.
I don't want. I'm just jumping in for a point because my wife just said something that I just want to clarify. There will be arguments. Because she kind of, it was probably a Freudian slip where she said arguments are not commonplace in a relationship. There will be arguments. There will be disagreements.
No, I meant to say that. I meant to say arguments.
Okay.
Disagreements
mm-hmm.
should be in an argument. It should be in a marriage, but not an argument. Argument is something that brings about anger. It brings about a way of a fight. You know what I mean? Like an argument. I'm be fighting. You know, your argument belongs.
My Vaseline girl.
Yeah, in a courtroom.
Vaseline.
When you are a lawyer and you are about to give your argument, that's when you are talking about that. Because when you're doing an argument in a courtroom, somebody's going to end up the winner.
Where's my Vaseline?
Isn't that right, Greg?
That's right. There's someone who's in for rebuttal. There's,
yes, absolutely.
And everyone's going back and forth. And
when you have a disagreement, it's about something that you do not like, and it comes to the point where you become disrespectful to the other person because it's going to end up badly for somebody.
Uh-oh.
It really is. It really does end up badly for somebody. And the person may not be you or your spouse. It may be your child.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say that a place of where you're going to have an argument. If you can want to call it an argument, fine. I just don't like calling it an argument. If you're going to have a disagreement, the first thing you need to do is take yourself out of the house because you're commonplace. Take yourself out of the house.
Ooh.
The steps that you need to do. Take yourself out of the house, you and your spouse. Either go to a restaurant or a place where you know you will not be loud.
Shake it fast.
You know what I mean? That you will not be loud. Go someplace because when you are in your home, you tend to do things that just becomes normal. Like you'll get on the computer, somebody's playing with their telephone, somebody's doing this, somebody has to call, somebody call you and pick up the telephone, so a kid may call, this is happening, somebody may knock on your bedroom door. So get out the house, leave your telephones at bay, leave them home, have a conversation where you can have full attention on your spouse so you guys can have a conversation and get down to the nitty-gritty of what's going on. And the important thing is if you cannot get down to the nitty-gritty, walk away and get somebody neutral like Greg and myself have sat with many couples and be able to speak clearly to the situation that you cannot see yourself through. Greg?
Oh, yes, let's get it on. No, let me stop. But that's definitely true. It's not about the winning or losing, and it's definitely going to flow into which I know once I bring about this particular point, I already know where my wife is going to go with this. The next point, especially when it comes to effectively having a disagreement. Put downs and name callings are strictly forbidden. I will say it again. In order to be effective in your disagreement, put downs and name calling have to be strictly forbidden. Any comment that is intended to demean or to degrade the other person will do nothing to solve the problem. It will only drive you further and further apart. The worst thing you can say, or one of the worst things that you can say, and I'm going to say this because I know this is one of my wife's pet peeves, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say. Now, if that's part of your vernacular when you're interacting in a disagreement, that becomes more of a lightning rod for drama and the infestation of just grief and strife and everything else, because now, as Cheryl was just saying, now, especially if you're in your house, forget about it, now the gloves are off. Now you're walking around butt naked, and now you're trying to strip people down. You're trying to get, you know, you're trying to get inert within a person. It's not even about just about saying that you're trying to be to win an argument. Now you went beyond trying to win something. Now you're trying to get medieval almost. You're trying to get within the person to bring them out based upon your put downs on your name caller. And not even that. One of the things that has been said and is totally true, not only does it affect the people around you, but you kill a little bit of yourself. You chip away at your own armor. Because, see, if there's an armor that is strong by the combination of the two individuals in the relationship, and we start chicking away at the armor, tick, 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 and the more and more that you tick at that armor, it may not crack that day. But slowly, as you continue to put the put downs, it's scaffolding. And like how Cheryl's a marriage and family therapist, and I have my master's in education, there's scaffolding in both sides because we still deal with the psychology when it comes to either we're dealing with adults or children. And the way that you scaffold and you keep, it's like telling the child, you know, you're not never going to be nothing. You keep building those words on top, on top, on top, on top, on top, and you're wondering why when this child gets up a particular age, there's nothing you can do for them because they've been just mentally beat down. But in a relationship, there are too many times, tell the truth, you shame the negative. And there have been times in the past that I would admit that I was probably the person that would put downs, and there were times I sure was, but I'll take responsibility for myself and understand that that does become a negative anchor in a positive relationship when you start allowing in a disagreement, which could be handled at the spark level. Now all of a sudden you start throwing those little innuendos and you start throwing those daggers, and the daggers become bows and arrows, and the bows and arrows become guns, and next you know you're looking for a tank because you're trying to get to the ultimate deep down, I just want to destroy you. We're at war now. And that's what put downs and name callings can do within a relationship. What do you have to say to that, Cheryl?
I have to say something simple to that. How is it that, and we had to go through this, how is it that you are putting down your king or your queen?
Ooh.
How is it that you're able to put down your king or your queen? He is your king. She is your queen. There is no one higher in your household. There is no one higher in your household.
So if your children are seeing you put down their king as their father, their queen as their mother, how is it that they're going to be, like I said, be confident to sit in class and do work? How is they going to be confident when they get older and now you have modeled how to now speak to their king when they find one and their queen when they find one?
Come on, girl.
In that manner. We are doing some undoing work in our own household about how our children speak to each other. And that's just the truth. That's just the truth. There are certain things that you learn from your home that you will not learn outside of your home. And there is a lesson to be learned here. When you are speaking to royalty, there is a way that you must approach.
Come on.
There's a way that you must do things. However, you can't come a certain way.
Mm.
You can't, first of all, you can't look a certain way.
Mm.
And I believe, I'm not, see, Greg is more of, I know his parents are from Jamaica, and I know they have, they talk, his mom used to talk a lot about the queen and stuff like that. And I know he would know more about the protocol about how do you even approach a queen or a king. And I know that why, I know negative words are not allowed to be said in the presence of just anybody. You can't even talk, I don't even think you could talk about the queen, right? Just in jest.
Oh, no. That you back in the days, that was your head.
Yeah, absolutely. And how? So I think that that should stand. That should really stand. Because in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be having some things. And I know Greg will talk about it a little later, but we're going to have workshops just for this alone. And it's not about us blaming the past. Yes, we all had jacked up pasts. If you didn't, God bless you. Wonderful.
We all went through mess to get to our message.
So there you go. So if you didn't go through mess or your childhood wasn't dysfunctional, wonderful, I'm happy for you. However, mine was. Greg was. And we had to really grow up. And we had to really, really work on ourselves. We were messed up. I didn't know he was my king. I didn't know when he chose me to be his wife that he put a crown on my head. I didn't know that how I was supposed to be a wife. I had to learn. And someone taught me that. I had to learn. I watched. I looked. I was observant. That's why we decided to take this on. 50% of marriages in America are ending in divorce. We have to do something about it. Greg?
Definitely, definitely. And a lot of times what are catalysts, or I would say some of the principal things that allow divorce to become too much of a commonplace thing these days is the fact of the way people feel that they can, you know, interact with each other. And as Cheryl stated, you're destroying your own kingdom that you're attempting to build. You're tearing down your own castle by destroying from within. A lot of times people didn't understand that even in the medieval times, most coups, that's where you get that word coup from. Coup is something that happens within. A coup happens from within. The coup is not, no, you're looking outside the walls and you're wondering why, okay, the enemy's out there. No, your enemy's inside. or the enemy can become manifested based on how you interact with each other. And that's why they say all the time, sometimes the worst enemy you can create is your spouse. And your spouse ends up turning from being your friend into an enemy, and then all of a sudden the dissolution of the marriage happens because you went from being friends to being able to effectively communicate with each other, and then it became nothing but, okay, I'm going to get him. It goes back to some of the things that we were saying. Oh, okay, I'm going to get him, or she's going to get her, or this, all the, or everything is about, you know, what you, and me, and all this I. And it becomes much more detrimental cycle, which we definitely, especially for our own community, that is something that we want to be part of the solution, because it's easy to walk away from something, and next thing you know, you have a bunch of different situations going around. But it's easier to, you know what, man up, woman up, and, you know, work out your situations in a cohesive manner, so you understand that there's respect from, there has to be respect from both sides, and as long as that you keep that thought in the frontal part of your lobe, you'll be okay. But that flows on to the next part of what we're talking about here today. And I tell my kids this all the time, but I know we're going to jump into it, and we're going to have a little discussion with a little bit of time that we have left. Remember to use your ears more than your mouth. I'm so happy about that statement, I'll say it again. Remember to use your ears more than your mouth. See, it's interesting. You look at the human anatomy, and it's interesting that you have two eyes to see. Regardless if someone may have lost the eye and they still have the ability to see, that other eye gets somehow a little bit strengthened because it's compensating. So you have at least, hopefully, two eyes to see. That's for you to survey and to see what's going on, and just to, you know, have something that's going to reflect electronic impulses based on what you're seeing into your mind for it to be processed so you can see how to navigate the road. And you have two ears. That means you have two opportunities on either side of you to allow information to go in for you to process, to work along with the electronic impulses of your eyes to see how you're navigating the particular situations that are not so much confronted, but that you're dealing with, as we call this thing called life. But yet and still, and not even that, let me not skip the nose. You got two nostrils, which, if everything is working correctly, you have little, people wonder why you have little follicles and hair fibers in your nose, because that's to help, you know, filter the air that you're breathing. But it's allowed to be a direct connection to your lungs, which allows your lungs to expand and compress, which shows that you're breathing, which you're allowing the life of oxygen to come into your body while you exhale the carbon dioxide. But yet and still, we only got one mouth. So now, at times, when we start breaking out all the even previous things that we talked about so far, it's so many times that it's that mouth. It's what we use to communicate. We ain't talking about nonverbal communication. We're talking about verbal communication. That there's too many times that we want to be understood and understand. You're going to understand me, like Cheryl said earlier. You're going to hear me. You're going to understand where I'm coming from. You got to hear me. Me. And what you're doing is you're spending so much time proclaiming verbally that it starts to get lost in the process. And then we're not opening ourselves up to the thoughts of our partner, because it's all about what venom or what we got to say, because I got to say that. That's crazy. Remember to use your ears. That's why you have two of them. More than your mouth. Because by doing so, you have the ability to process information more. You have the ability to allow yourself to listen. We can all hear, but there's a difference between hearing and listening. Now, if you allow yourself to listen, you'll be much better off, and you'll have less drama down the road, even within a disagreement. Cheryl, what do you like to add to that?
Well, the one thing I'd like to say to that is that it's an art to do that. And it's not going to happen overnight, especially if you are tending to speak more than your spouse does. And, you know, as women, we have more to say sometimes than our husband do.
Mm-hmm.
We have 10 words to his maybe one.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that, like Eric said, is what you're saying building the relationship or tearing it down? The mouth is a tool that can bring life and a tool that can tear down life. We can build someone up by the things that we say and the things that our actions that we take. I know what I can say to build Greg up, and I know what I can say to tear him down, but why do that? The choice is out on us as spouses. Greg?
Very, very true. So remember, please, if you got anything out of tonight, especially about there should be never a winner in an argument or a disagreement, the put-downs and the name-calling have to be thrown out the window, even if it means that you know that you're about to say something wrong, you know what I'm saying? I remember a funny movie growing up called Moving, where, you know, where they had a swear jar.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you knew that you was going to say certain things, you had that moment. But, you know, it was like, if you know you're going to let loose, okay, you got to take some money out the pocket and put in the swear jar. And that swear jar becomes like an extra savings account, because now if you know you got to let it out, and only for that moment, when you have some money in your hand that you put in the swear jar, that's the only time that you can let loose and express yourself how highly or how volatile you want. But once that moment is over, you go back to your semblance of self. So when you realize that the name calling has to be strictly forbidden, remove it out of the circumference of your relationship. Move it out of your business dealings. Because you can kill $1 million or $10 million contract just by the way that you feel that you're doing something. Have some level of decorum for yourself. Some protocol, as my wife stated earlier. And if you have those things, believe you me, success will be beckoning at your door. You won't be chasing it, it'll be chasing you. And now we get to another point. The goal of conflict is unity and understanding. Whoa! Wait a minute. I thought Gregory, I thought you were talking about disagreements, how to be effective in disagreement. Oh, yes. Conflict is always going to be a part of it. If anybody tells you they have a perfect relationship and they don't have conflict from their spouse, let me be the first one to tell you, even though others have told me this in the past, but you know, sometimes as humans, you know, people want to experience life for themselves instead of seeking out wisdom. Run. When someone turns around and tells you, well, you know, you can be effective and you can deal with your spouse and nothing's ever going to happen, and if you just talk in a nice little Flanders type of way, everything is going to be sweet like roses. Run. It does not exist. Any situation, especially if you know someone who's been together, there are times that me and Cheryl have spoken to people who've been together 25 years, 30 years, 40 years, and just, you know what I'm saying, it's not even about asking secrets, like, how'd y'all last so long? And usually the man will pull me to the side and say certain things, or the woman will pull Cheryl to the side and say certain things when we was going down certain roads and we were seeking out the wisdom. And sometimes where it all comes down to is like, I remember there was one particular person who gave me one tremendous nugget. He said, and it goes back to one of the things that we talked about earlier, he just simply said, it's not about feeling that you're empowering your wife regardless of the disagreement or what it is. Because they say, you know, a woman builds a home, and sometimes a man will come home and be like, why is this like this and this like that? But you have to understand, you know, women were dealing with dollhouses, but that's another story. We'll go down that road another day and another time. So, you know, the house is, you know, her canvas for her to, you know, create her paintbrush and, you know, mold and shape and everything else. He says, you have to learn how to work within the lines. If you work within the lines of certain things, you allow her to do and certain things she allows you to do, believe you me, there's going to be less discord, less drama, because number one, you're not stepping on each other's toes. You're trying to do some of the stuff that she should be doing. And I'm not talking about cleaning and cooking and washing and dishes and doing laundry and stuff like that, because everyone should be a part of that. We're talking about certain things that are just delineated to say, you know what I'm saying, this is her thing. But now you're trying to get in there and trying to, you know, maneuver. Or there's certain things that's just strictly your thing. And now she's trying to get in and trying to mix up. When you don't, when everyone stays in their lines, you have less drama. And the goal about, especially about conflict, which creates unity, is that there's always like a fork in the road. You have the ability, one path is going to lead to, you know, drama and all kind of other stuff, and the other path is leading to, you know what I'm saying, we've come to a compromise and understanding that you have your opinion, I have mine, but if the love and the foundation is strong enough, you will understand that the consequences that you will reap is not for great gain or great, you know, enlightenment and, oh, you just got to pontificate on me, or even terrible laws to say, you know, I won and I'm this and I'm that. No, the goal of any conflict, of any type of disagreement is there, is to actually bring you closer together. Because now you start to understand her thoughts. She starts to understand male thoughts. And now it's not about just being, you know, Mars and Venus. Now it's about, okay, we're here on Earth and we're here to work this thing together. Cheryl?
Well, yeah, it's about building when we come together, we build a constellation. When we come together, I see your light, you see my light. When we come in the room, it's about a constellation, baby. You don't think so, Hugh?
Oh, God.
No, what Gregor's is saying, it's just a point where you have a light to shine, your husband has a light to shine, and the thing is that if you're two bright lights that came together, you were two bright lights when you're born. I believe that everybody has something to give. When you were born, you were a bright light to your parents. And we have to know that we are that same bright light coming together as one. And when you bring two lights together, you could shine brighter than the sun. Who wants to shine? I mean, it's nothing like to shine. You know something? You ever see a new car? You ever got a new shining car?
Pretty.
It's pretty.
Pretty.
How about, but in order for that car to keep shining, you got to buff it.
Mm.
You got to wax it. You got to clean it.
Thank you,
Pop. You need maintenance.
Yay.
You need maintenance. So, Greg, go ahead.
And as my wife was saying, I was getting a little off topic. See, I was thinking about something else, which I'm going to keep my mind, not even PG-13, I'm going to keep my mind G. But anyway, when you understand that disagreements are there for the goal and the understanding of conflict resolution is there about for us to see where the other person is, and it's not about just understanding where we're at and understanding who we are. It is about ultimately bringing you closer. Don't think just because you have a disagreement with your spouse or even with a business partner, it's about proving something. No, technically it's not about proving something. What it is about showing and proving that you have the ability of compromise. Compromise is always the sum total of everything. And even when we deal with this particular goal with the last couple of minutes that we have, it's ultimately about compromise. All these thoughts, all these points from each person having a legitimate right to feel and think the way they do. And, you know what I'm saying, the points of a disagreement must be crystal clear. It has to be clear. It can't be muddled up. It can't be something where one person is assuming one thing and the other person feels another way. Right there, then even the argument is crazy. Then you get to the point of, you know what I'm saying, try to, you know, keep certain disagreements at the spark phase. Something happens right when the match is lit, quell it there. Don't let it just keep festering, and all of a sudden you have a nice fireplace fire, and you're wondering why, how did it get so hot? Because you could have squelched it at a particular phase, which would have been beneficial for both of you, not just for one person, but for both of you. And this is a very enlightening, very a strong point. When you talk about no one is supposed to win in an argument, or if someone is trying to win, you ultimately both lose, that is deep. That is strong. It's not about trying to prove your mettle as a man, or she's trying to prove how many more words she can say over you as a woman. It's about if you're trying to deal with the situation based upon who's winning or losing, this just kind of shows, you know, your mentality is not where it needs to be, especially when it comes to being in a relationship. And, you know what I'm saying, the put-downs and name-calling, we spent enough time on that. We should understand that. Put-downs and name-calling, bullying, domestic violence, you know, fighting, put hands on each other, all that other stuff, strictly forbidden. Out the window. Out the window. Strictly forbidden. It's not even something to discuss about any further because we've already given that enough light. And just like we said, remember to use your ears more than your darn mouth. If your mouth, you know your mouth can be fire, then get some water for your own mouth. Calm it down. Because there's more and more that you're trying to spew fire and spew venom, it's not worth it. Because really think about it. When you're spewing all the fire and the venom and all that, who are you spewing it towards? Who are you poisoning? Who are you burning? And if that's your aim, then really the problem is you. So when you sometimes you got to just take that step back and be like, you know what? There's certain things that we can't do and it's not going to be commonplace. So please, if you do anything, remember to use your ears more than our mouths. And also, just a surmise of what we shared for today, the goal of every conflict is to bring more unity and understanding within the diaspora of this relationship that you are in, that you are navigating with the partner that you picked. There's no perfect relationship. There's no thought that's going to say that you're going to be in a Shangri-La and a cornucopia of food is always going to be flowing like water. It does not exist. But what you can do is understand that the things that you can control, you have the ability to do so. So it's been a tremendous pleasure sharing from us here, Greg and Cheryl Clark. We have the website, www.gregandcherylclark.com. Also, we stated earlier how you can connect with us, like on Twitter. Our handle is Greg Cheryl Clark, without the E. That is GregCherylCLARK. And also you have the ability to be with us on Facebook, connect with us. Please connect with us. As you know, we're moving into the next couple of months where we'll definitely be promoting further workshops and further ways to not only be a help and a blessing to yourselves, but for your overall family. So remember, facebook.com/thecouplesTV show for all our blog talk events and other media events. And also our main page so you can hear what's going on in our minds at facebook.com/Greg and Cheryl Clark. So until next week, this is Gregory Clark and
Cheryl Clark.
And we see nothing but definitely want you to breathe life and love daily. And by doing so, you are allowing the conflicts that will occur to stay at the spark stage. That's what you should need to work on for this week. If you have a disagreement, keep everything at the spark stage. If you keep everything at the spark stage, you're going to have less drama. You're going to overall feel better mentally, physically, emotionally, and not even that. As men, if you do so, and women can tell that you're actually listening to them, you're going to get more out of the situation than you will least expect it by just trying to prove that we are being analytical and logical. So until next week, at the same time here with the Bridal Club, It is Gregory Clark signing off, saying peace, and we shall see you next time on the Couples TV Show. See you next week.